former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, America. Time to stop doubting the Miami Heat. They find a way, rally to steal game two on the road. Can their in-state NHL brethren, by the way, do the same tonight with the Florida Panthers taking on the Golden Knights? Plus the NFL offseason ripe with headlines. We're going to separate what impacts us as bettors and what's just noise, all that and more as we welcome you in to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on a Monday. You heard the sigh there with the Miami Heat getting it done from our guy Michael Lombardi out east. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and let's just dive right into it. Miami gets a 111-108 win. What were your immediate takeaways from the game?
Well, happy Monday, Stormy. It's good to see you. My immediate takeaway was that was the game I thought that was be played in game one. Let Jokic have his way, limit Murray to 18 points, kind of match the intensity, get the lead early in the game, and then, you know, win the fourth quarter. And it happened in game two instead of game one. Look, Miami's the first team, first number eight seed to ever win a conference final, a championship game. I mean, that's a mouthful in itself. But I think their resolve, their resilience, their ability to continue to fight and play is somewhat remarkable. And if you don't match their energy level, and you listen to Malone, we're going to have a clip from him coming up later. If you don't match their energy level and you just think you're going to coast by, you're thinking wrong. And, you know, they got play out of your guy, Duncan Robinson, my man Strus. He couldn't make one more to give me that five that I was hoping he would get. But they all do their part. They know their roles so well. So I don't know why we continue to doubt them. The other thought I had, and I hate to be long-winded here, Stormy, but I think all these analytical people miss the biggest component of winning championships, and that's team. And mental toughness. And you can't measure that in any analytical spreadsheet.
Yes, but and with the Miami Heat, this goes back to round one and every step of the way that it's taken them to get here. They have the intangibles and things that aren't quantifiable when it comes to an analytics or stat sheet. And it's one of those things, you just said it, like we need to stop doubting this Miami Heat team because all they continue to do is prove us that they are capable and they have that next level. I loved the quote from Jimmy Butler post game when he was asked about what something along the lines of like what's been a separating factor for this team. And he said, that's just how it's been all year long. It's the, pardon my language, I don't give a damn factor. And they always kind of come in with that no matter what anybody's saying about us, no matter how big of a favorite somebody else is, we're never counting ourselves out. And we saw that especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were down by as many as 15 in this game, trailed by 8 going into the fourth quarter, and then they just never went away, end up outscoring the Denver Nuggets 36-25 in the fourth. It's the 7th double-digit comeback for the Heat this postseason. They've trailed by 8 or more multiple times, and now that's, yeah, 4 wins this postseason, straight up, when trailing by 8 or more points entering the fourth. That's the most of a single postseason in NBA history. The rest of the NBA combined, Michael, 1-41 in that scenario.
Yeah, and they relish it. I mean, Spoelstra will tell you, look, this team loves to compete. They love to get in the fourth quarter. They love to win that. And, you know, it took a Herculean effort to shoot. You know, they shot almost 50% from the three-point line. They shot almost 50% from the two-point line. They went to the free-throw line 20 times. I mean, look, they did exactly what they set out to do, and they didn't get deterred. They built the lead in the first quarter. I was disappointed. I thought they would cover that first half spread. I really did. But they couldn't get stops when they needed it. But they start out this third quarter at 11-2 run.
Yep.
And, you know, they just have this ability to just love the competition. And they don't look at the scoreboard. They just keep fighting their way through. And, you know, guys come in and make plays and do it. They're so much fun to watch. They're truly a team. Can they do it 3 more times? I don't know. I hope they, you know, for your sake, I know you have the ticket to only do it 1 more time. But they're not. If you don't play to your level of standard, you're not going to beat them.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point about the quick start, though, for Miami, they didn't end up covering the 4.5 in the first half that we discussed, but a lot of the thought process with our pro tip late in the show yesterday was believing that the Heat were going to come out with a different energy and aggressiveness, a little bit more comfortable in the elevation, and they did end up cashing that first to 10 plus 135, the first to 20 plus 155, the first quarter. So that that early thought process that we had was certainly true. As far as the way that the results came from a betting standpoint last night, Miami did end up taking money. They went down from getting 8.5 to 7.5. This is their 10th straight up win as an underdog this postseason. The total also saw money. Some places closing as high as 217, Michael, and shout out JVT for leading us on to the over. I know you felt that that was a lean as well. No matter what the number is, it gets there. But we talk so much about effort for the Miami Heat. Let's talk about that quote from Michael Malone that you brought up in a moment ago and play the clip. He was not pleased with Denver's effort.
Now let's talk about effort. I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter, they scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves or not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that to me is really, really perplexing, disappointing. And I asked the team, I asked our player, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us.
How much of that, Michael, do you think was directed at Michael Porter Jr. specifically, the way he played?
I think it was directed at his whole team. I mean, Murray scores 18 points. Gordon wasn't the same. They didn't get the loose balls. I think that conversation we just listened to is so important to the bettors, so important to us as a betting network, because what Malone was saying, honestly, was, yes, we won, but understand why we won. And later in that conversation, he talks about they had 16 wide open threes. They just didn't make them. We did not play well. And I try to tell our team we play well, but there's the perception because you get the W up on the scoreboard that you play well. Not all W's mean you play well. Not all W's are the same. And it's hard for a coach to get his team to refocus when they don't play well and they win. And Malone struggled with that. And it took this game to kind of maybe refocus them. So now as bettors, we know Denver's going to have a further the sense of, really, they're going to play at a higher level down in Miami. Can they? We'll see. But that's the challenge, and I think that's why we have to remove perception. You know, it happens all the time. The Colts are a bad team. Well, if you really study the Colts season before Saturday in the park got there, they were in a lot of games. They just couldn't close it. They couldn't win them. They beat Kansas. There's reasons. If you figure those reasons out, you're better off as opposed to what the narrative is.
When you look to game three coming up later on this week, the Nuggets in Miami, a 2.5-point favorite, total 215.5. How much of what Miami did do you think is going to be replicable here? Because we talked about, you said it right off the top, this was more of the game against Jokic that we anticipated the Miami Heat to play, like force Jokic to be a scorer and take away his ability to facilitate. Only had 4 assists in this game despite 41 points. The Denver Nuggets are 0-3 when Jokic puts up 40 or more points in this postseason, which is crazy to think, but that's the way. You just have to, you shut down Jamal Murray, you shut down some of these other role players, and Jokic is going to cook no matter what, but force these other guys to have to beat you as well. Can the Heat do that again, game one at home?
I think it's hard to say they can, because can they shoot 48, almost 50% from 3-point line again? You know, can they do that? I don't know if they can. And I think, to me, their plan was really good in the sense that Jamal Murray ended up having 10 assists and Jokic only had 4. Jokic took 28 shots last night. He only took 12 in game one. So, you know, there was a definite game plan to shift him to become the scorer. And, you know, I look, every game that Miami is going to win, it's going to take an unusual circumstance because they are devoid of Denver's the more talented team, but it's going to take Caleb Martin to shoot ridiculously well. It's going to take, I thought, you know, Kyle Lowry played as well as I've seen him play. I mean, he was plus 15 for the game, and he still had 2 turnovers, but he made some critical plays. He got the offense going. That pick and roll between Bam and Duncan Robinson, you know, Denver didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson really came alive in the fourth quarter. Strus, you thought that he would play better. He ends up starting the game 3 from 3 after going 0 for 9 the previous game. Bam, you said, was good. Gabe Vincent was good. Kevin Love, his addition, only 6 points, but plus 18 on the floor, 10 rebounds. You could tell the size bringing Love in there made a difference. Jimmy Butler being on Jamal Murray made a difference. Oh, by the way, I don't think that we have enough time for it here in the segment, so maybe we can bring it up a little bit later. But Spo was not feeling our thought process about shutting down Jokic. He was not having it when he was asked about it in the postgame presser.
I heard. Yeah, I know. He shut off Ramon Shelburne like, no, we're not talking about that, you know? We're not talking about that. He wanted to talk about the effort. He wanted to talk about the competitiveness and, you know, and getting in between the lines and working your tail off to get the win. And they did. Now they go back to Miami. And the one thing we know about the Heat, that they don't ever have a sense of comfort. You know, look, here they are. They just won a game in Denver. Denver hadn't lost a playoff game at home. And, you know, and now they're back to being the underdog, 2.5 points. I actually think that line will go to 3. Yeah. I don't think it'll go to 2 or 1.5.
Yeah, people think taking the zigzag theory into account. The Nuggets also, by the way, back down a little bit in the series price, -275, Heat available at +225. We will get a little bit more from behind the counter with regards to this game when Thomas Gable joins us in about 20 or so minutes, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. But for now, we're going to go back to the NFL as we open up the next segment. Starting quarterbacks in the NFL are always making headlines, but what's clickbait and what's actually impactful? We'll break that down in News or Noise coming up on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. You can download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID, open up an account, and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And the big news coming out this morning, back to the Buffalo Bills. We were talking yesterday about Ed Oliver, and now today Leonard Floyd comes over from L.A. with a one-year deal to the Buffalo Bills. So definitely trying to stock up on defense and add to the pass rush, knowing how many good quarterbacks there are in the AFC, Michael.
Yeah, and I think it's a great signing for them. You know, he had 9 sacks last year. He had the most quarterback hits in his career, Leonard Floyd, with 22. And he was playing on a Ram team that never played with the lead. So those are really good numbers, and I think it'll complement Von Miller because mm-hmm. they need someone on the other side. They've not been able to get that. You know, when they lost Miller, who had 8 sacks last year, when he went out with the ACL, it really impacted their ability to rush the passer. And if you're going to be a team that believes in getting the lead, playing from in front, you have to have those pass rushers to really create turnovers. And that's something Buffalo must do. So I really like the Leonard Floyd side. I think this was more important than signing Hopkins, because I think Dalton Kincaid is going to be their inside slot receiver. Hopkins would have been great, but using the money on Floyd, I think, makes them a better team.
And how much, too, I know both he and Von Miller are a little bit older, but both still very talented at the position. Like, is that going to open up opportunities for one any more than the other in your mind?
Well, I think, you know, in pass rushing, you have to have ends that complement one another. You know, if your right end's like Nick Bosa, who can get up the field and pressure inside out, your left end has to be able to pressure outside in. And so, you know, I think to me that complement between Floyd and Von Miller works really well. And their ability to rush creates turnovers. You know, everybody gets caught up on sacks, Stormy. And sacks are a great statistical number. But sacks don't result in turnovers typically unless your quarterback fumbles quite a bit. Sacks are, the play's over, we go on to the next play. Hurries forces the quarterback to throw the ball early. It forces the quarterback to get the ball out of his hands when the receiver's not ready, when the DB can break on it. And that creates interceptions. And that's what Buffalo needs to be able to do, because when they go into halftime with a 10-point lead in that third quarter and they get a pressure and the ball comes out, all of a sudden that 10-point lead becomes 17 points.
Mm-hmm. Gives your offense a lot more comfortability as well. But, yeah, a great signing, I think, for the Buffalo Bills in a busy week, it seems, for them on defense in terms of news, because Von Miller, of course, also eyeing that week one return from the ACL injury last year. Floyd, by the way, when we talk about all these players dealing with injury issues, played all 17 games a season ago. Now to pay off the tease, we talk in the NFL offseason about all these different storylines. I feel like quarterbacks are always the talk of the town, whether it actually means anything or not. So let's separate the news or noise with some of these big headlines coming through right now. Starting with the Philadelphia Eagles here, because while we all did know the Eagles were interested in acquiring Russell Wilson as he was leaving the Seattle Seahawks last offseason, some new information came out over the weekend from Sports Illustrated Greg Bishop during an interview, who made it clear the deal was pretty darn close to the finish line, but Russell Wilson said absolutely not and was not willing to move on his no-trade clause. News or noise getting this information?
Well, I think it's noise. It really isn't relevant now. It really has nothing to do with it. Here's what I will say about it. Philly regrets not drafting Russell Wilson. Philly liked Russell Wilson. I think they felt like they didn't need Russell Wilson when he came out, you know, and so they didn't want to create any problems with their quarterback room. So they have always liked Russell Wilson. And I think if you go back in time to when this conversation was being held, nobody was certain that Jalen Hurts was going to have the breakout season that he had this year. There was some concerns that he couldn't, and there's still some, that he couldn't really throw the ball from a drop-back pass game with anticipation. So do I think the story may have legs to it? Probably so, but do I think it's relevant today? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and he got the information from Wilson's personal quarterback coach, Jake Heaps, so you feel like that's pretty legit.
That's they were important.
About, yeah, that's where this source is coming from.
Yeah, I mean, that personal quarterback coach, does he take responsibility for how he's played over the last two seasons? I wonder if that works.
Oh, no, poor guy. The Commanders.
I don't know if I'd be – Stormy, I don't know if I'd be advertising that I was Russell Wilson's personal quarterback coach the last 2 years. I think I might take down that billboard.
Ooh, shots fired, Michael. I love it. But, hey, if you're here at Howie Roseman, though, just goes to show sometimes the deals that you don't make and the deals that don't end up working out end up being the best thing for you, because Jalen Hurts in a prove-it year ends up going on to be second in MVP voting. For my money, he was the best player in the Super Bowl with what he was able to do out there on the field. And all of the questions that were asked about Jalen Hurts were answered. And at every stage of his career, what I love about Jalen Hurts, every stage of his career, whether it be from high school to college, college at the multiple stops that he had to have, then getting drafted into the NFL, he's consistently found ways to improve. And you have to imagine that the Eagles are pretty set up for success again this year with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it. Now he's got to continue to improve, because I don't know if the Eagles are going to be able to outscore people the way they did last year in the second quarter. I think people are going to get a better handle on the six-back attack. That being said, they have so many good players. If they're healthy, they're going to be hard to stop.
The Eagles, plus 650, second on the odds board to win this year's Super Bowl. Favorite in the NFC, plus 250. Odds-on favorite in the NFC East, minus 120. Win total, 11.5. The Green Bay Packers had some interesting news coming out of their offseason workouts. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs, second-year receiver, he says he believes Jordan Love can do the exact same thing as Aaron Rodgers. News or noise?
I think this is somewhat news, right? Now, I'm not sure Romeo Doubs is an expert on player evaluation or understanding offensive schemes. I think he's got his hands full learning what to do with the Zex receiver in their offense. So I don't know if it's accurate, but I think to me, what it tells me from afar, there is some sense of confidence of Love's generating within the receiving room. Now, can he be Aaron Rodgers? No chance at the line of scrimmage. There's no way. He's not experienced enough to do that. However, you know, can he orchestrate this offense and can he run it effectively? I think this is a positive sign from a player that has the ball, that needs to get the football. Now, I wouldn't expect anybody to say something negative. I mean, you and I both know Trey Lance is having probably the greatest offseason that any possible quarterback could have. I mean, we know this, right? He's buzzed light years away from anybody. I mean, really, after this offseason, Trey Lance is liable to take the train directly to Canton and get inducted based on what he's done this offseason. So temper it with a grain of salt. However, that being said, I think this is a positive sign for Jordan Love that he's created some confidence without playing games.
For sure. And I think in any case, when you are a team that's moving on from a Hall of Fame quarterback, the automatic assumption is that as a group, everybody's going to take a pretty significant step back. But we also have to remember that Aaron Rodgers is coming off one of the worst years of his career through his most interceptions mm-hmm. that he had in a really, really long time. So maybe if Jordan Love plays a little bit better than we anticipate, that'll be at or above what we saw Rodgers do last season. Let's go to Mac Jones, another one of these.
Hold on for a second, though, Stormy. I think to me, I keep saying this. I don't understand why that the Chicago Bears are higher, have better odds to win the North than the Packers. The Packers are the better team. I'll keep saying that. Now, if Love bombs, right, I get it. And I'm not sure Love is going to bomb or be great. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him. But I've seen a lot of Justin Fields, and I'm not sure about that either.
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of the odds from that standpoint. They haven't shown us anything to this point yet. Last one here. Mac Jones says he's going to do everything he can to re-earn the respect of everybody in the building in New England after that rough 2022 sophomore slump season. News or noise?
I think this is news. I think, you know, first of all, for you to accept coaching, for you to accept criticism, for you to move forward after a bad year, you have to take responsibility. Now, this is important because sometimes guys tell the media this, but then they don't behave that way. So the first step is acknowledgement, which he did. Now it's behavior, the next step. He's got to behave in a way to where it backs up his words. I think that's critical. I really think this is critical. So look, I've said this before. You can give Matt Patricia all the hell you want for not being a great offensive coach. You know, the offensive line wasn't very good, but at the end of the day, Mac Jones didn't play good either. And at least today, he's acknowledging that he has to earn the trust of his teammates back.
Yeah, not an easy road by any means last season. I mean, this is his third year in the league, third offensive coordinator. And one of them, as you talk about Matt Patricia, was a defensive coordinator. So it's not exactly like you feel as a player set up for success. But he, at least outwardly, knows that he needs to check the attitude, take steps forward coming into this year. So we'll see if he does have the actions that match the words. We've got to take a quick break, but catching up with our guy Thomas Gable of the Borgata coming up next. Get behind the counter on all things NBA Finals and more.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Remember, we're here to help you out this summer. Become a smarter better with the VSiN Pro subscription. For just a limited time, you can sign up for just $9.99, get full access to everything we do here, including daily pro picks on all the summer action, including NFL and college football futures. We've got premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, plus pro tools like the exclusive betting splits function that shows you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Don't miss out on our lowest intro price of the year. Visit vsin.com/subscribe and sign up today. Rolling along here, excited to welcome in, as we do every Monday, our friend from the Borgata in Atlantic City, Thomas Gable. TG joins the show. When are people going to stop doubting this Miami Heat squad, my friend? They do it again.
You know, it was interesting. Last night, it seems like the betting market had more respect for the Miami Heat than the Nuggets did. Ooh. Because you saw the
line.
You know, the bettors, at least here, were backing the Heat. You saw the move down to 7.5 there, and you know, we were getting Heat money on the spread. Basically, every alternate line that you could find on the Heat was getting bet. So, yeah, not a great result for us overall. And obviously, we talked about the total yesterday on the show. Total ended up closing, 216.5. So if you bet the over, as we talked about yesterday, that cashed as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Game 3 gets bet now that the series moves to Miami. The series price obviously is now adjusted. Now going into Game 3, Nuggets are now minus 275 for the series. And, you know, going into Game 2, they were anywhere from $7 to even as high as $9 in some places. So big adjustment now on the series price. And it's really – obviously we saw what Miami did there and how they adjusted defensively, kind of letting Joker get what he needed on points, but stopping the assists. And when you look at the regular season numbers for the Nuggets, when Jokic had 10 or more assists during the regular season, they were 34-4. When he didn't get the 10 assists, they were 14-17. Very pedestrian record there. So that's obviously key. And why is that key? Because it cuts down on the number of threes that are being made by the Nuggets. If Jokic is the one who's taking the lion's share of the shots and the points, it cuts down on the number of threes, and that's what you saw last night. The Nuggets didn't shoot as many threes, and, you know, Miami, obviously they were able to execute much better than they did in game one from three, and Duncan Robinson had a big game there. So it's we talked about that as well. We expected the Heat to kind of bounce back, not shoot nearly as poorly as they did in game one, and all of those things kind of came to fruition last night.
TG, after the game, I see on some places it opened at 2. What did the Borgata open up at, and where is it now?
We opened 2 as well. It's now up to 2.5. Moved pretty quickly there off the some early Denver money. But, again, long way to go here. As we have a couple days off until they travel to Miami. So right now it's pretty much sitting 2.5 everywhere. The total is 214.5, so we'll see where that goes as well. And remember, for game two, we opened 214.5 for game two. It obviously got bet up, closed at 216.5. I'd anticipate this number going a little bit higher here on the total, but right now it's in the 214.5 for game three.
Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, joins us on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Remind me, refresh my memory here, TG. Where's your most liability lie? Like, who's the better result for the Borgata between the two?
Better result is the Heat, for sure. We're a small loser to the Nuggets in the future book. Nothing major there. I mean, all of our major liability has been knocked out in the future book. So the better result for us is Miami. If Denver wins, it's nothing that's going to be catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, so where do you think I'm surprised the total, now both teams shot well from the three-point line. I'm surprised it opened at 215. I thought it would have been a little bit higher. Do you think you're going to get get more over money? Where do you think that line will close, TG, on Wednesday?
I think it's going to get bet up a little bit more. It'll probably close around 215.5, 216 is my guess right now. If you look at where the first two games, game one was 218.5 closing and 216.5 for game two. So I think we expect it to be right around in those areas, right around 216, I would say, is what I would predict where this is going to go.
Yeah, it's just, you never know which version of the Miami Heat shooters you're going to get, it feels like. And obviously...
Right. But it does look like Hero's coming back, though, now for game three. It does look like he's going to play.
Correct. That is the expectation. Yeah. Very, very important to note there for game three going back to Miami. Let's go to the NHL tonight. Game 2 between the
Vegas. Yeah, there you go. I knew you were going to get
See,
there.
But I did it.
There.
Are you proud of me?
I thought you wanted me to ask so you could brace yourself.
That's what I was going to say. Usually you're the one that asks the question so that I can just, mellow out for a moment. But I'm a big girl today. I'll do it. TG, the Florida Panthers looking to bounce back. A good plus money price on them, I'm sure, with the Vegas Golden Knights back at home after a 5-2 win in game one. I know a big part of my thought process in the opening game was that their goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky, might be a little bit rusty after a 10-game layoff, and it appeared to be the case. You'd imagine he'll be sharper in a bounce-back spot. How are people playing it so far, and your general thoughts here on game two?
So I'll give you the splits right now for us. The Knights favor in ticket count. It's almost like 80-20 in terms of the ticket count. But there's more money on the Panthers here. So it's interesting. We saw some people come in yesterday, make some bigger plays on the Panthers, not only for game two, but for the series as well. But right now, I think most shops are right around 140. You might find a little bit higher there out where you are in Vegas, around $1.45 on the Knights. Right now, as we sit currently, we would be rooting for the Knights here tonight to take it and go up 2-0. And again, in the future market for us, we're pretty big winners on both these teams, so not real concern there whatsoever in the future book. We'll realize a win on either team, but so we're just going to kind of take it game by game. But yeah, right now as we sit, we're going to need the Knights tonight.
After the Knights win, what correct prediction of the series got the most attention after the Knights win?
In terms of like the exactas?
Series price. Picking the exact one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Knights to sweep actually was a pretty popular bet before game one. Yeah. And
it goes Stormy.
Going back to the NBA, that was the Nuggets to sweep was the most popular exacta bet here. So obviously now that one can't come to fruition on the NBA side, but the Knights one's still alive there. And the Knights to win 4-0, Knights to win four games to one was probably the second most popular one. So, in terms of those exactas, that's where our liability lies on those two outcomes.
That's surprising to me, just considering how many like smart bettors I know really liked Florida in this series. And now they're available even just at a plus 180, an even better plus money price, plus 180 to win the series. I thought like 4-2 maybe would be the best way to go in this one. But speaking of that with the Denver Nuggets, I mean, maybe just got a little too ahead of yourself reading your press clippings and listening to all of the hullabaloo going on in Denver. Last minute here with you, TG. How was the Victor Hovland result for you guys yesterday?
Not great. Small loser there. Hovland, I think, was 20-1 before the tournament. Obviously, McIlroy had another meltdown there, and not a great showing for him. He is in action, I think, this week. He's playing the RBC Canadian before the U.S. Open. But Hovland, if you want a lesson in being humble, this guy wins yesterday. You know what he's doing today? He's out caddying for one of his old Oklahoma State teammates who's trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. So he's out there carrying a bag for 36 holes today.
That's pretty darn cool. Awesome stuff, as always. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff from him, as always. Yeah, that's very, very cool. That's not something that a guy of his stature needs to be doing. That's awesome.
Not after he deposited that check. I mean, that check was a heavy check, right?
Put
you know,
that
now he's going to carry every
in
bag.
The bank. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here, but hour two of the Lombardi Line will roll on next. Thanks for listening. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a same game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 even if you miss a leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets one leg of your same game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Full disclosure for anybody who was joining us last segment. Got a little ahead of myself there. We are not an hour or two quite yet. I can't count. I was talking to TG. I was in the moment, Michael, and I lost track of time a little bit. It's fine.
It happens to the best of us, Stormy. You know, the show goes by so fast. You know, it's like, you know, especially since we do talk about football and you know, we can able to kind of connect some of the things that are going on around the NFL into the present moment, which I think is, you know, as we're learning from the NBA playoffs, I mean, some of these things are relevant to your in-season bettings and how you handle it. I think that's going to be critical.
Exactly. And like a theme of a few of our NFL segments over the last couple of days, including today, have been players, coaches that are light years ahead of where we thought they would be. I just got light years ahead of myself on this very show. That's all that was. No worries at all.
Everybody's got Buzz Lightyear's phobia, and there's no doubt.
Exactly. Well, let's get started with another one of the news items that's making the rounds today in the NFL, and that is a couple of things with regards to the Miami Dolphins and running back for the Minnesota Vikings, Dalvin Cook. A report from Albert Breer that said the Dolphins almost traded for Dalvin Cook back in March. And then now that the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson reported in his OTA network that it is a possibility for him to wind up with Miami if ultimately released here. How do you view the situation with Dalvin Cook right now?
Well, look, he's due to make $10 million, and he's a really good player, and he fits in what Miami does. He gives them that little bit of a Christian McCaffrey, if you will, the ability to be a runner but also a receiver in their backfield. You say, well, they have Mossett. They drafted a kid, Arklean, from Texas A&M. They've got Jeff Wilson in there. How does it all work? Well, you could kind of use Cook in a lot of different ways, and he's an explosive player. Look, Miami finished 31st in the league last year in rushing attempts, so their head coach didn't call many running plays. Dalvin Cook's a good runner. I don't think Dalvin Cook needs to be the full-time runner, the 30-carry-a-game guy or the 20-carry-a-game guy, but his impact as a weapon in the passing game is dynamic. I think Washington, and I'll have this argument with Doc Walker, I think Washington would be really smart to go after Dalvin Cook, because that would help Sam Howell get him a weapon in the backfield to offset some of the things. Robinson, okay, good player. You know, Gibson, good player. Neither elite, both averaged under 4 yards a carry. I think they need an explosive player. When they had J.D. McKissic, they were really good. They signed McKissic, and then he got hurt, and he couldn't pass the physical. So, look, I think Miami, as Barry Jackson talked about, will only go after Cook if he's a free agent, meaning his contract right. has been cleared, and they'll negotiate with him. I don't know why Washington wouldn't try to negotiate and get a deal done with Minnesota and then just figure out so he keeps him away from going home to Miami.
Yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. Washington wasn't a team that, at least based on a lot of the insider reports I had heard Miami, I'd heard Denver, I heard the Jets a little bit here. 4 straight years, though, for Dalvin Cook with over 1,300 scrimmage yards. Everybody, right? You're not wrong. Is there any chance that he were to stay with Minnesota? Is that possible?
No, because I think you need the cap room. There's the Minnesota. I think there's three teams this year that are in Minnesota's all in cap hell. Tampa's in cap hell, and so are the Rams. And when you're in cap hell, if you get injuries, you have to have money to account for it, or else you're going to go down to 50 players as opposed to 53. You need the cap room, and I think Minnesota, now that we're in June, will make a decision on Cook before training camp starts.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this Minnesota Vikings team as we go to our light years ahead or falling behind conversation. NFL head coaches edition. I know you and Femi broke down a lot of the young quarterbacks. Yesterday, we started with some of these newer head coaches, but Kevin O'Connell on that list, his second year in Minnesota. They were so good in one score games a year ago, rode that all the way to the playoffs where they ultimately ended up losing to the New York Giants, a 13-4 regular season. What are your expectations here for Kevin Connell? What does he need to improve on in 2023?
Well, I mean, look, as I've said all year, Stormy, last year, Kevin O'Connell, you want to follow him into Circa, and wherever he bets, you want to go with him because he's a lucky guy. He was fortunate, right? You know, the wheels of fortune turned in his favor. And so can that be duplicated again? I don't know. Defensively, they were not good. They couldn't stop anybody. You know, they're not great at defensive tackle. I think that's going to be a major concern. Can they handle the run? I think having Brian Flores as their defense coordinator will help. It'll simplify the scheme. They'll play tougher. Do they have enough corners to cover in a man-to-man element? I don't know. They took Byron Murphy from Arizona. They paid him a lot of money. Is he a shutdown corner? They basically have the – you know, they tried to create a corner situation with through free. It's hard to do. They drafted corners when Zimmer were there, and none of those guys have worked out. Unfortunately for Jeff Gladney, he had the off-the-field incident, and then he died in the car accident. So, you know, I think their defense is going to hold them back. I know they drafted Addison to help them at receiver. He'll be an improvement over Thielen, who's towards the end of his career. But what I worry most about with Minnesota is when they go against good defensive fronts, they struggle to protect Cousins. And once Cousins gets hit, that becomes a problem. I'm not a fan of Minnesota. I know going from their win total to 8 is a big jump down. But they were very fortunate in a lot of games. I never saw them as ever being a team that was in control of the game. I thought they won a lot of games. I never thought they were in control of the game.
Yeah, you mentioned that win total 8.5. Looking at some of the MGM splits of bettors involved in the over or under, 95% of bettors believing that they'll have 9 or more wins. They are currently favored in 9 games on the schedule, getting games against the Bears, the Aaron Rodgers, Packers, Lions, who are good but maybe not great. Crossover with the NFC South that we know was the worst division in football last year. But you mentioned the defense, though, and that's going to be critical. They ranked 30th last year in scoring, 29th in opponent yards per play.
I mean, if you just go through it, right? So they have Arizona, and that's a close game, and Murray can't make a play at the end. Washington's a one-score game. They win that late, right? Buffalo, that insane play. Do you remember that insane play in Buffalo where Justin Jefferson makes this incredible catch? Mm-hmm. And then Buffalo fumbles on the 1-inch yard line to lose that game. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
you're
that
not
was
wrong
overtime.
About the luck factor. That was real. That was real.
I mean, Cowboys blow them out. They barely beat the Jets with Mike White at quarterback. I mean, look, it was one of those years where I say to them, and Green Bay beat them last. I mean, Green Bay beat them 41-17. People forget this. You know, this is why all this love for Green Bay is kind of ridiculous when, you know, Green Bay beat them 41-17. Now, I know Rodgers played quarterback for Green Bay in that game, but still, Green Bay matches up to them. They know how to rush them. They can attack them. I'm not sold on Minnesota again this year.
I don't think I'm sold on them, but I understand where bettors are coming from that of, you know, 5-game difference from last year based on luck. It seems a little bit hard to think that they won't at least get 9.
The Indianapolis game, Stormy, that was, I mean, how many times is that ever going to happen? The Buffalo game, you know, that would be the theme of minute. I mean, their highlight reel should be described as when will we ever see this again? Like, when will we see a comeback like we saw against Indianapolis? When will we see a play like we saw against Buffalo? You know, when will we see the New England Patriots botch 2 punts in a game? You know, when will we see these things? They just don't happen. And yet they happen for them. When they played good teams, Philadelphia got blown out. Dallas got blown out. I mean, they just couldn't play against good teams.
Second shortest shot behind only the Lions in the NFC North. Also good to note, and granted, week 1 is against the Buccaneers, but one of just 2 teams this year to open the season with 3 straight playoff teams from a year ago. So Bucks at Eagles against the Chargers. Then they take on a Carolina Panthers team we think should be improved in Carolina. And then you have Kansas City. So kind of a mixed bag there. They're opening 5 weeks of the season to get things started. You wonder if they're going to build confidence through that stretch or really show some holes.
I mean, we got 2 playoff teams opening up, Tampa and Minnesota, and neither one of them, I think, are playoff teams this year. So, you know, what does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah. We have a number of coaches that maybe we didn't have enough time to talk about here, but maybe we can still get to, because I know you have a lot of opinions about Brandon Staley, Dan Campbell, if we keep it in the division here, another team in the Detroit Lions who in his next year, what team are they really? They started the season so awful, but then made up for it with an 8-2 back end of the season. Are they for real or not? But favored, like I said, to win the NFC North. The last time they won that, they won their division, Michael, was 1993 when it was the NFC Central and there were five teams in it. So it's been a hot minute since the Lions have had success in the division. We're going to take a quick break. After this timeout, by the way, it actually is hour two. So I finally made it. We're here
now. There we go.
Don't go anywhere.
We're matriculating the ball down the field.
Hey.